From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Caroline Ballard. A bill to decriminalize polygamy between consenting adults has unanimously passed the Utah Senate. KUER's Sonia Hudson reports.
The bill would change consensual bigamy, which is rarely prosecuted in Utah, from a felony to an infraction. Basically, the equivalent of a traffic ticket. If someone is found guilty of bigamy and crimes like child abuse and kidnapping, the bigamy charge is still a second-degree felony. Republican Senator Deidre Henderson is sponsoring the bill and says criminalizing polygamy has made victims of crime within it afraid to go to the police.
That's where the bad people can really and have weaponized the law in order to keep their victims silent and isolated and in their control.
But Ora Barlow, who grew up in a polygamous sect, says the law helped her when she left it.
When I left, I realized all my life I had been thought of as property, and I actually felt like the law was my friend, and I didn't belong to someone anymore.
The bill now moves to the House of Representatives. Sonia Hudson, KUER News.
This morning, the Senate Health and Human Services Committee passed a bill that would expand family planning coverage to nearly 10,000 uninsured women in Utah. The bill aims to limit unintended pregnancies and reduce abortions in Utah through family planning, which includes increased access to birth control. Policy analyst Stacy Stamford of the Utah Health Policy Project says that expanding access to contraceptives benefits low-income women.
Low-income women are more often at risk of unintended pregnancies due to a lack of resources and other barriers. We also know that these barriers become even more of a hurdle when you consider racial and social inequities of other forms.
The bill passed on a 4-1 decision and moves to the Senate floor for debate. Utah Congressman Ben McAdams and John Curtis are pushing a bipartisan proposal to make federal grant money available for UTA's frontrunner. It would go towards adding a second set of tracks to portions of the commuter train service. Most of Frontrunner's double tracking exists only at stations, and McAdams says adding more would increase the train's frequency.
As Utah's Wasatch Front population continues to grow, we need transportation solutions that keep up with our growth.
UTA could also be getting some state money to help with double tracking. Governor Gary Herbert recommended $34 million for it in his budget proposal, which is still being negotiated by the state legislature. The first wave of Democratic voters are casting their ballots in Nevada's early caucuses. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick reports, the process looks different than those in the past.
Nevada Democrats instituted a 4-day early voting period for the first time this year to increase turnout. They also scrapped their plan to use the same voting app as Iowa after that state's issues. Instead, Nevada's early voters are checking in digitally on an iPad and filling out a paper ballot. Those ballots will then go into their respective precincts and be added into Saturday's caucus results. Nevada voter Tracy Dupree supports those changes.
I wish we had paper ballots on everything. Paper ballots have always worked since the 1700s in this country. We need to look at that again.
According to the state Democratic Party, more than 36,000 Nevadans took part in early caucus voting over the long weekend, and more than half of Saturday voters were first-time participants. According to the latest poll from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and AARP, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is leading in Nevada, with 25% of likely caucus-goers supporting the independent. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
A final chapter has begun in the saga of a Utah woman who vanished a decade ago and the killings of her young sons years later. A trial in a lawsuit against Washington State began today. Josh Powell was suspected in the 2009 disappearance of his wife, Susan Cox Powell, when he killed his sons in 2012. Susan Powell's parents have sued Washington's Department of Social and Health Services, alleging negligence helped contribute to their grandsons' deaths. A caseworker had brought the children to their father's home for a supervised visit, but he locked her out and killed the boys and himself in an explosive fire. You are listening to KUER News. I'm Caroline Ballard.